hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. Yes. We have so much to be thankful for. We continue in our catechism. We're moving on to a new phase this morning. First of all, we've looked over how God has revealed himself to mankind through creation, through the scripture. Secondly, we've spent a lot of time looking at the scripture and how God has allowed all mankind to look at the scripture, but only by his spirit can he truly reveal himself to man. And now we embark in the third section of the catechism, which is the doctrine of God. We're going to start with this question, and I'm going to spend quite a bit of time here. These are some doctrines that is not addressed too much in the church today. Especially as we go a little bit further, the doctrine of the Trinity that I hold dear, that you don't hear much about the depth of that anymore. Our question this morning is, what is God? The answer is, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, and holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Let us ask the Lord's help this morning. Father, we thank you for the day, Lord. We pray, dear God, that you would open our eyes this morning, Lord, to behold wondrous things out of thy word. Reveal to us, Lord, yourself. Reveal your being of God as we're going through this question this morning, Lord. Help me to bring glory and honor to you. Open our ears this morning, Lord. Please teach us and dwell us with your Holy Spirit, Father, that I may be able to be speaking the truth as well as those listening could hear it, Father. We'll give you all glory and all honor in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. All right, what we're going to be talking about this morning, that God is a spirit and how we are to worship him. Let's turn to John chapter 4. This is the first proof text in the catechism here. We're going to be looking at verse 24. Verse 24 says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we see here that there is a requirement of acceptable worship, one being by the Spirit, and secondly, in truth. Let's look over to Psalm 145. And let's build upon this principle. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all of them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Now, we know from the scriptures that Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by him. So this truth we understand is we cannot approach God without the merits of Christ on our behalf. So we know this truth. Let's look also back at John chapter 4 where we was. And let's look at the verse before, verse 23 coming up to 24. And Jesus telling this woman, this Samaritan woman at the well here. He says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such worship to him. The desire of God our Father is for us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now we know that the scripture tells us that no flesh shall be justified by the works of the law. So our keeping of the law and our trying to walk within the parameters of things are good. There's nothing wrong with that. But we do not bring forth righteousness in ourselves by these things. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Verse 3. Paul telling the Philippian church here that our glory is the glory in Christ. Verse 3 says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoiced in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." How do we worship in spirit and in truth? I would declare to you this morning that we worship in spirit and truth by the merits of Christ, that we look not on the things that we can accomplish, but we hold on to Christ. He is our righteousness. He has opened the door. He is the only way that we have access to the Father. Look at Colossians chapter 2. We'll see here that by the merits of Christ, we have access to God. Colossians chapter 2, let's look at verses 6 through 15. Paul giving a warning here, he said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after through the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he hath quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, and praise God, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of new moon or of the Sabbath days." It reminds me of what Brother Jimmy was reading earlier in Matthew 23. The spirit of a Pharisee that tries to be made right with God by what he does. And not only that before God, but he tries to use that against other people that may not be where he thinks they should be. And uses that to harm others. Let that not be with us, brother. Let's look also at Titus chapter 3. Paul writing to this young minister here. He says in verse 4, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." This life in the Spirit, brethren, I honestly believe, and I've been in many denominational churches trying to understand this life in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit. I honestly would tell you that this life is a life dependent totally upon Christ. That is life in the Spirit. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Piggybacking off of Matthew chapter 23, what Brother Jimmy read earlier. This is a warning Christ gave. A warning to the religious and not the redeemed. Look at verse 21 through 23. Jesus saying here, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, the Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And notice here that these people were doing religious Christian things, but our Lord called it iniquity because they did it unauthorized. They were not redeemed. They were not covered by the blood of the Lamb. I'd like to leave you this morning, Psalm 51, a few verses out of here. Right in the middle of the beginning of this, there's one scripture, verse 6, that jumps out. David repenting to the Lord here with the sin that he committed with Bathsheba and against her husband Uriah. He says right here in verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And who is this wisdom? We know the scripture says that Christ has been made wisdom for us. This is what God desires. The true worshipers that worship in spirit and truth, we come to the Father through the merits of Christ. That truth, that wisdom that was made unto us. Verse 12 says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. His spirit's something that he gives unto us, a gift. The down payment of the glory that we will receive with him for eternity. Verse 15, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The Lord is not looking for our service. The Lord is not looking for us to put things on the altar to sacrifice unto him. What he's looking for is verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. Brethren, let us look unto Christ for everything. Let us not sow to the flesh, but let us sow to the Spirit. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to come to your house again this morning, and to open your word, Lord, and to be taught by you. I pray that you'd help us to understand, Lord, what you require of us. You require belief, Lord. A reminder of the scripture where they asked you, what must we do the works of God? And you said that this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom the Father has sent. We praise you and we give you glory and honor. Be with us for the rest of the service, Lord, the Sunday school time here, Lord, and the service to come. Help us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.